You're listening to the EWN Podcast Network.
Welcome to Raising a Powerful Girl, a community and education platform that empowers parents and caretakers to foster independence, leadership, and strong personal identity in girls so they can change the world. Now, here is the founder and your host, Maria Fuller.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Raising a Powerful Girl. I'm the founder and your host, Maria Fuller. Before we get started, let's make sure you know where to find me. You can find more information about our education and community platform at raisingapowerfulgirl.com, and you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Raising a Powerful Girl. Make sure to connect with us on social media to find out our latest news, learn tips and tricks, submit your questions, and continue our enlightening conversations. And now, let's get on with today's show. Inspiration and empowerment comes in many different forms, and choosing how to express that can begin with allowing your daughter to choose what she wears as a form of her own self-expression. My guest today is Hadley Pollitt. Hadley is a contemporary American designer from New Canaan, Connecticut, known for her timeless accessories that inspire kind, powerful women to shine strong. Hadley's signature belt design sprung from inspiration while at Rhode Island School of Design. Her unique style caught the eyes of many when she wore a belt made of vintage ribbon and a buckle out to a birthday party in Boston, where several people asked where she got the belt. Since then, her line has exploded with extensive press coverage and exposure in high-end stores worldwide, quickly growing from just belts into a lifestyle brand, including handbags, jewelry, and home goods made with Hadley's copyrighted textile designs. Her inspiration for not only her business, but also her business's purpose was discovered after 9/11. Hadley felt propelled to channel the chaos going on politically, economically, and socially into something positive and uplifting. After several years of working in marketing and public relations for textile and fashion companies, in January 2002, Hadley launched her own line of belts made with copyrighted textiles that conveyed hope and happiness. Hadley and her signature designs inspire women to radiate the power of kindness despite the ongoing negativity in our world. She prides herself for creating a brand that represents self-expression, empowerment, and confidence by igniting an emotional desire for women to feel spiritually uplifted when dressing. Her brand is known to deliver women the ability to express themselves wholeheartedly, whether someone is a hippie, downright preppy, or both. Her hope is that every day, women wake up and dress as the best form of their spiritual selves, expressing themselves brightly. Hadley is dedicated to aiding and inspiring young women to be future leaders of the world. Well, welcome, Hadley. It's so great to have you here today, and I'm really excited about our conversation. I'd love for you to start out just telling our listeners a little bit about you and how you're helping to empower women with the work that you do.
Well, thank you for having me. I started my company 15 years ago. And the impetus for starting it was actually 9/11. I lost somebody very close to me during 9/11 and was taking classes at Rhode Island School of Design at the time and really didn't like my day job, which was consulting in public relations. I had my own consulting company. And the fashion classes really gave me solace during that time. I also felt like the country at the time, not dissimilar to what we're feeling now, really needed to feel a coming together, hope. They needed some, people in general needed some exuberance. And so the products that I designed out of that class were these belts that we are infamous for now. One night I went out, I wrapped a piece of trim around a buckle in Boston, and I went out to a friend's birthday party, and five people asked me where I got my belt. And my response to them was, "What will you pay for that belt?"
That's a good response. I like that.
So I had 12 belts made up, and we went to, I got myself into 50 stores, and then we were picked up by a woman who took us into 250 stores around the world. Very quickly, what we realized through our research was that my intention with the textiles that we were designing for these belts to give people kind of like a hop and a skip in their jump was actually working. And women and children, women and their daughters were walking into stores and they couldn't decide oftentimes they were buying two or three belts at a time. Each belt has two sides to it. So that's really six belts.
Wow.
But anyway, we have the same experience now online. We find that women and young girls really like our stuff because it enables self-expression. And I've been told many times by different people that that's just kind of a trait of mine personally, but it also comes through in our products. Yeah.
I love that. And yeah. I love how you are connecting something like fashion to creating a place of expression and empowerment for women and for girls. And it's funny because a lot of people think, you know, when I talk about being a thought leader about women and girl empowerment, they think that I'm anti-makeup or anti-girls fashion, where, you know, the reality is that I'm very much for it. It's about allowing girls and women to express themselves on how they see themselves or how they want to show up in the world, but without the pressure of society dictating it, right? I don't want girls to think that they have to wear makeup because society says that wearing makeup is what makes you look beautiful. I don't want society to say that you have to wear XYZ because that's what we've deemed to be appropriate. And my own journey as a mom, I think for me, it was hard in the beginning with my oldest to kind of let go a little bit in this realm. And what was awesome for us is that when she was young, like 2 to 3, she was in Montessori school. And one of our battles in the morning was her getting dressed. And I would pick something out and I would try to dress her and she would scream and yell and she didn't want to wear that and changing her mind. And it was causing this chaos. And the teacher said to me, like, just let her dress herself.
Right? This is a battle I know well. And if you were to speak with my mom now, she would tell you that all of our battles over what I wanted to wear, including a bikini in the middle of February in Connecticut, were foreshadowing of my soul purpose and my expression. And I talk, these are talks that I actually give to young girls and to women, which are about finding your soul purpose. And it doesn't have to be through fashion. It just, that happens to be my avenue.
Yeah.
Is through textiles and coloring. I do a lot of coloring, which is one of the reasons I think that young girls really are attracted to working with me. But it's really, really important for your children to, they already know what they like and they know what they want. And I'm not saying that you let them have all the M&Ms or anything, but when it comes to creative expression, it's really important to let them express themselves however they want to, whether it's putting makeup on. Or my friend's daughter yesterday had hearts everywhere. I mean, her socks, her earmuffs, her eyelids. I mean, everything was hearts because she really likes to dress up for holidays.
Yeah.
And she was opening her coat on near Central Park West, showing everybody her outfit on the way to school. So important.
I love that. And it's, but it is a control thing, right? That we try to control. Or, you know, my oldest loves animal print and I'm very kind of reserved, kind of classic. And I think that's because I wore a uniform when I was in school and my mom was very controlling on my clothing. So I haven't even really explored what I really love, which is interesting. But my Alexa loves animal print, and that girl, if she could, would wear animal print head to toe, everything, and mix and match. So we'd have cheetah, leopard, zebra, always some type of tutu skirt with sparkles, and like the mixing and colors and stuff. And you know, when she was little, she would just wear whatever, and now she's getting to the age where she's starting to be conscious of society saying pink and red don't go together, or this and that don't go together. She'll say, does this look okay? And I said, well, what do you mean by that? She's like, well, does this match? And I'm like, does it have to match? And I'll just ask questions back. Does it have to match? Well, no, maybe. I don't know. Like, you know what, Alexa, if you like what you have on, then wear it. Because sometimes, you know, when you look at high fashion and stuff, there's so much they experiment with. And that's where you're able to express yourself. Can you talk a little bit about, just from a fashion standpoint, you know, when girls are challenging and mixing colors and patterns, how important it is for them to be able to do that and explore.
Well, that's actually what we do. All of our products are a mixing of patterns and colors. And I think that colors have different energy that come with them. For instance, the color purple is, I think, denotes clarity and a peace of mind, lavender. So when your children are thinking about mixing and matching patterns, they're seeing things maybe differently than you are. And it's critical that you let them express themselves artistically, because it's my belief that creativity is actually, it's almost divine. And I don't mean that in a religious sense. I mean it in a spiritual sense. And so the more you let that kind of, that flow of energy through them, the happier they're going to be. And it really has to do with them allowing themselves to be themselves. And if you allow them to be themselves, it will bring them into, you know, kind of a happier place sooner. And, you know, they have a lot of challenges as they're growing up. And one of their challenges is actually pleasing their parents. So if there are areas where you let them please themselves, like getting dressed, and to a certain extent, I mean, I will say that I was very glad as a child that my mom, you know, wouldn't let me sass up too much. But, you know, if you let them express themselves, you're just enabling a flow of energy through them that will help them become, you know, strong in their own purpose.
Yeah, I love that. What inspires you every day in terms of your work when you're designing and you're putting, you know, pieces together? Where do you draw from inspiration?
Well, something that a lot of people don't talk about a lot is that I do think that designers in general are very sensitive people. Mm-hmm. And so we do think about what's going on socioeconomically, politically around the world. It just comes into the work that you do. So I do take into consideration that and where I think the vibe is, and the collective consciousness. I take a lot of inspiration from nature. I see color differently than a lot of people. There are certain colors that people, assume go together, but actually if you look at a tree, sometimes you'll see a really clean green moss with a really dirty looking olive color. And if I put those two colors together, people think they're beautiful, but what they don't understand is that they've already seen them.
Yeah.
And, you know, oftentimes I say, show me something in fashion and I'll show you something in nature that inspired it. I really believe that nature inspires everything. Yeah.
I love that. You know, I was a photographer for 8 years, so color and light is always something that I've loved, and textiles. I actually worked with a company that created woven wraps for baby wearing. So these long pieces of fabric that were woven that I would then wrap my baby to my body. And it was, for me, such a wonderful experience as a mother, because the different fabrics I would choose, you know, when the baby was really little, I would be doing the choosing of the fabrics and how I felt that day in the mood, and they were very patterned and putting it together with my clothing. And as my children grew up, and Aria, who's 3.5, still likes to be wrapped sometimes, but now she chooses the wrap. And it's so interesting to watch her, especially when she was little, you know, 18 months old, grab a wrap, the fabric, and you would see her pull it out and she would touch it. And there were the patterns and the colors, and she would say which one she wanted because of a mood and how it allowed that expression, which I think is really amazing that we can do that with textiles.
Yes, yes. I think textiles really do enable self-expression. I worked in the textile industry for a little while before I started my company. And just the mixing of yarns and patterns and color. And then I think it, you know, when you have a pattern textile, it really ties an outfit together. It also, you know, for young children, I think they can see a lot clearer and probably the colors better than we can. So it enables them to create their own self-expression through it as well.
Yeah, I love that so much. So, you know, we talked about the clothing battle in the morning and things that, that moms worry about. You know, someone, we're always looking, I think, as moms to have someone of authority tell us, like, it's okay. Right?
Yeah.
Like, it's okay. You know, don't worry if your child does this or your child does that. I was wondering if there's any advice that you can give to moms that are dealing with this every day with their child. And it's not that they want to control their daughters and what they're wearing, but they're afraid of what society is going to say if, you know, your five-year-old leaves the house in February with, you know, yellow shorts on and red socks that are up to like past her knees and a pink shirt, and she wants her to wear her rain boots. You know, and you're just kind of like, oh my God.
Well, so I had this battle a lot with my mom growing up. And I really believe that allowing the self-expression is important. My parents got divorced when I was, young. They got divorced when I was 9. Huh. And at the time, you know, the yellow snowsuit with the bright blue stripe down the side that nobody else had. I mean, I fought tooth and nail for that. And I also, my mom really didn't want me to have my ears pierced. I can't even explain it to you, but I spent a year while my parents were getting divorced every day saying, for my birthday, I'm going to get my ears pierced. I'm going to get my ears pierced. I'm going to get my ears pierced. And she finally caved and gave me these, you know, pierced ears where my head was really small. So the earrings were huge. And if you look at pictures of me, I literally look like I have like old lady earrings on with this teeny little head. But I was so proud of my earrings and I was so proud of my snowsuit. And I really felt like I was in my own skin in that way. And I do think that enabling that for your children is really important. I mean, I gave a talk at Live Girl last summer to a lot of little girls and middle school girls. And I told the story about my parents getting divorced and fighting with my mom. And I had a young woman come up to me after who had purple eyeglasses. And she just loves purple. And purple happens to be one of my favorite colors too. And she just latched onto me and wrapped her arm around me. And she said to me, you know, my parents are getting divorced too. And I wear purple all the time. And can I have your email? And can I have your phone number? And can, you know, maybe I can get some advice from you. And it's moments like that where I realize that allowing self-expression and telling these beautiful young souls that you can be who you want to be is really, really empowering to them, because despite what their parents are doing or saying, they know what they like. And they feel good if they're able to do what they like, just like we do as adults.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. And that's such a sweet story. And, you know, something so simple, you connected on something that's so simple, but is so profound. You know, an experience that I had that was really interesting is that for years I worked with a lot of teen and tween girls doing body image and empowerment projects through their extracurriculars. And one of my favorite group to work with were girls that were pre-professional dancers. So girls that were dancing 20 to 30 hours a week or more. And what I loved was asking them questions that they had never been asked before. So when you think of a ballerina or a ballet dancer, we all have in our head a vision, an idea of what that looks like. And I kind of wanted to experiment that with that a little bit with them and see, you know, is this true? And then this is, again, talking about like what society tells us we should look like or how we should present ourselves. And I asked the dancer when we were planning for her session, I said, you know, I want you to think about who you are as a person and how you want the world to see you as a dancer. What does that look like when we're putting together an outfit? is it the, you know, pancake tutu with the point shoes on and, you know, the tiara on your head? And I would say 9 out of 10 times that was never, ever what they saw themselves as. I had girls that would wear a leotard and a big tutu and then would put on sneakers. Mm. Or I had one that would have on a leotard and no point shoes and a pair of boxing gloves, or, you know, just plain shorts and t-shirts. And for them, you know, their dancing was their form of self-expression. And they actually had a lot of conflict with the fact that people expected them, since they were a dancer, to be a certain way, act a certain way, look a certain way. And they even themselves felt almost like they had to conform because of the dance school, right? Because of this, this image. And it's amazing that you can ask a girl just using clothing, you know, I want you to show me today how you're feeling with what you're wearing, or, you know, whether it's the color, and allowing them to express themselves, you know, in that manner is really so powerful.
It is so powerful. And I mean, I think through, even through coloring or art projects, it doesn't really matter which form, dance, you know, you name it. There is a lot of conformity in the world right now, even in retail. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're in, I don't know, Shenzhen or in China, or you're here in the United States. If you go to a mall, oftentimes they're the same stores over and over and over again, which makes it even more important for us to teach our young girls self-expression, because they're seeing the same stuff. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's really important.
Yeah. How do you, as a designer, you know, push against, you know, those pressures to conform, you know, with retail and find that balance? Because it's hard, because you're an artist, but you're an entrepreneur, right? And so there's gotta be this meshing of, you know, what feeds your soul, but what makes sense on a business practical standpoint. How do you combine those two together to find balance?
Well, the first product that we came out with was these jacquard trims with the tortoise buckle. And everybody kept telling me they wanted D-rings with the trims. And I kept saying to them, you don't get it. The point is the buckle with the trim. And yes, it does clash. And after time, you're going to actually think that this is brilliant. And the stores that took us on initially totally understood it. And I really stood my ground on it, because it is different and it's not like everything else. And I'm not here to conform. And our brand is really about self-expression. So a lot of what we come up with, and it could just be through a combination of colors or textures, or we have a clutch that has like a 2-finger slide on the bottom that only our customers know about and we know about it, but it actually holds the clutch on the woman's hand. So everything that we design creates this sensory dialogue with our customer. And it's not that it's pushing back on conformity so much as it's saying, let's think about how we dress and how we interact with things that we have a little bit differently. You know, let's think about what colors we combine. Let's think about the fact that I know when you put your hand in this bag, it's super soft inside. And that feels a lot better than something's kind of rough and gross. I also know that it's a bright color, so you can see everything in the bottom of the bag. So there's certain things that we do like that, that create this dialogue. And sometimes initially we do find that stores find it, some things odd. But usually once I talk them through it and they understand the story behind it, they're fine picking it up. Yeah.
I love that. And what I love about it is that you are so confident in yourself and aware of what you love and your zone of genius to say, you know, no, this is what I want, you know, with the tortoiseshell buckle. And I think it's such a great example for moms to hear about what we're trying to do with girls. And it's this ability to know yourself deeply and to be authentic to yourself, to say, I understand that you think that this might be better, but in my heart, like, this is what I'm creating. This is what I want. And it doesn't matter if you are a teacher or if you're an engineer or if you're a doctor or if you're another artist, it's staying true to your values and who you are and not giving in because someone else thinks they might know better.
Right.
And so much of that stems from your independence and from your creativity and your self-expression. And it's such a powerful way to show the translation of that and how you can then create change and show the stores, you know, this is why we're doing it this way. There's a reason behind it. And for them to see that, I think, is really such a powerful expression of who you are.
Yes.
Being a woman in business in this world today and being a powerful woman in business, because you definitely are, you know, a woman of power, of confidence, of knowing, what are some of the challenges that you see as an entrepreneur these days?
Oh, boy.
that's a big one, right?
Yeah, there's so many challenges. There are less and less challenges for women now because there's so many women willing to lift other women up. When I first started, it wasn't like that at all. It was more competitive, and I don't believe in competition. It's not pie. The generosity of the universe is not based on like, oh, if I get a slice, you won't get a slice. It's actually more based on if I lift you up, you'll lift me up and we'll all lift each other up and things will bring us basically into a golden age. So now I really think things are moving so quickly. That's probably the hardest thing for me. You know, I get up in the morning and I think, oh my God, what do I have to do today? And then it's like, I take off. And at the end of the day, I think, God, there are probably 20 things I wish I could have done that I haven't done yet. And what's important for me is to just stay really true to purpose, which as a person and as a soul, and then also as an entrepreneur, is enabling soul expression for women and young girls. So I try to just kind of hold myself to that on a daily basis and make sure that whatever we're achieving kind of is, you know, attracting that energy.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that you talk about, you know, the competition and how you don't see it as competition. And it's so aligned with my entire vision as well. I think as a young girl, I always felt myself to be a little bit odd or a little bit different because I couldn't understand why girls were constantly battling each other or competing against each other, whether it was on the playground or my picture's better than yours, or as you got older, where I always saw is, why can't we join together and work together and see what happens? And, you know, as part of the inspiration of what we were trying to create over with our platform is bringing in women together, because when we do come together and we collaborate, we become that much stronger. Whether it's an entrepreneur collaborating with another entrepreneur, a mom connecting with another mom, a professional helping, you know, another professional, it's so necessary, I think, to be able to start sparking that change that we desperately need to see in the world. And I know you do a lot of work with other women's groups that do empowerment and, you know, focus on lifting other women up.
Yeah. Well, so 80% of the factories that we work with worldwide are actually female owned.
Amazing.
And we do a lot of work in Peru, working with artisans down there and training them sort of through product development with us, but also taking a look at their lines and giving them advice and input on how to create products that they can export internationally. Yeah, and then another initiative that we have right now is with Live Girl, which is based in New Canaan, Connecticut, but is a girls' empowerment program for young girls all over Fairfield County. I think there's 700 to 800 girls.
Awesome.
That she has involved. And this May, on May 12th, at the Carriage Art Barn, we're doing a femme-powered event called Pouvoir de Femme, which is Power of the Femme in French. For moms and daughters, it's the day before Mother's Day. We will be hosting a fashion show. The Carriage Art Barn at Waveney in New Canaan is actually doing a call to artists under that theme. So there will be artwork from people all over the world that will be the expression of Pouvoir de Femme. And then it's just, there'll be some live music, art by the girls of Live Girl, really just a celebration of femme power. And it's all to benefit Live Girl.
Awesome. I love that. And it's such a wonderful way of showing that collaboration of women coming together from different businesses and then bringing in the next generation, those young girls, because it's so important for them to have these strong, powerful role models, such as yourself, to be looking up to see and know that they can also achieve, you know, incredible things with their life. So thank you for all of that hard work. That's really, really amazing stuff.
Thank you. I mean, I really truly believe that it's important at middle school age to teach girls confidence. And so what Sherry West is doing with Live Girl is amazing. And I think anybody that I've talked to that's spoken there or done anything is just overwhelmed with her work. And I have to say, from the first day that I met her, I knew that this was really an organization that we wanted to put our effort behind, because I could see that she was going to create some massive change.
Yeah, it really is. It's so important in that middle school year. And even now, the research is starting to show that the girls are growing up, having to grow up so much faster, that a girl's self-esteem is actually going to peak at 9 years of age, which, 10 years ago, it was really like the 11 to 12 year range. And so we talk about empowering girls and they were always thinking about the high school level, but it really needs to come down earlier and earlier. And it's important for people to be involved with making a conscious effort every day to help empower these young girls, because they need it so much. We need it, I think, as a society on a whole, to start creating some change with a little bit more feminine energy.
Well, I mean, there's a movement going on, and I don't think it's going to stop.
No, I don't either.
And I think, 4 or 5 years ago, I gave a speech, and at the end of the speech, I quoted the Dalai Lama when he said the Western woman is going to change the world. And I really do believe that that's what's happening now. And I did believe it then, when he, at that time, I was looking out at an audience of men and women, and the men kind of cocked their heads and looked at me like I might be crazy. Mm-hmm. But I didn't really care, because I felt like this is what is about to explode. And, we do have, it's a silver lining on the cloud for what's been going on recently with the Me Too movement and women coming out with their stories. The silver lining in the cloud is that we've created all this positive momentum forward that's just not going to stop.
Yeah.
And it's so important for the next generation. You know, we just don't want this generation to wake up at 23 and feel what we had to feel.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I love that they're coming together and they're starting to speak up, because they are leaning on each other. And they're building each other up. And so we're starting to break that cycle of women competing with women. And we're starting to see women building each other, women up and coming together, because we are incredible forces to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
You know, when we are at our peak, when we're at our most authentic selves, and able to express that, then it's a very powerful thing. So I'm excited as well to be in this period of time, to watch this all happen, to play my role in it, and to know that my two girls are going to live in a much different world, than I lived in, and hopefully one that will empower them even more to achieve greatness in their life.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your time today. This was such a great conversation. If there were one or two things that you would like to advise moms or think moms something to think about in terms of, you know, what we've talked about today to help empower their daughters every day, what would it be?
It would be, I think, to become more aware of your own patterns of behavior and sort of where the clarity lies in them for your daughters. I think that that's what's happening collectively around the world right now. But, you know, just for instance, I was taught as I was growing up that getting married and having kids was success. I am not married and I don't have kids. I was married for 6 months. And during that time, my husband was not supportive of the business that I have today. And I realized I'm going to have to let go of this if I'm either going to stand in my purpose and move forward, or I'm, you know, going to feel a little bit suffocated. And there are these kind of societal patterns, and they do start at home, and they start with our moms and their moms and their moms and their moms. And what's really important for parenting and for moms right now is to take a hard look at the positive patterns and the negative patterns and how they affect their children and how to kind of send them out into the world so these kids can create their own sense of self, not based on the historical patterns of the family.
Amazing. I love that so much. It's such great advice. Well, thank you so much for your time today. Yeah. I really appreciated having you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
To find out more about Hadley, you can find her at hadleypollett.com, HadleyPollett. For more information on how to empower your daughter every day, please join our community at raisingapowerfulgirl.com. We look forward to seeing you there.
You are a leader and a role model to developing girls. Whether you're raising a daughter or you work with girls on a daily basis, you see the incredible potential they have to make a difference in this world. You know the change we need is going to come from them, and you want to make sure they grow up to be independent leaders with a strong sense of personal identity, because these are the traits that make a powerful girl. So come join our community and education platform at raisingapowerfulgirl.com and become a part of our movement to educate, inspire, and cultivate a generation of powerful girls with eye-opening discussions and facts, exercises, and tangible calls to action. We can't wait to see you there.
Have you ever asked yourself this question? Why is it so hard to make a buck? I know I have. Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. What I have discovered after going from the brink of bankruptcy to running a multi-million dollar award-winning business is this. You can't build a million-dollar dream hanging around minimum wage mindsets. My mission is 1 million women entrepreneurs generating $1 million in annual revenue. So here's what I've done. I've created the mother of all entrepreneur success programs that you can access online on your time. It's called Monetize Me Now. It's a 7-module online course that is 100% my success formula, covering mindset, mission, management, motivation, marketing, and measure. Come on, take my hand and I'll show you the way to learn to earn flowing revenue for your business. Visit monetizemenow.com for details.
Thanks for joining us. This is the EWN Podcast Network.